Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
So, today we're doing a patron-only episode on Jacob's Ladder, the musical. We're both very excited to begin talking about
this. Who's got the pain when you do the mambo? Who's got the pain when they go erp? Who's got the pain when you do the rombo? I don't know who. Do you?
You know what? Somebody thought that was funny. Somebody's going to start laughing right when you do that.
I was so scared that we're going to talk about Fosse.
Was it you, Brent?
Yeah, Brent.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Brent?
We have a gun to your dog right now, Brent.
Oh, if you kill my dog, I'm going to...
Why is he
really
a Southern Belle?
Fosse Verdon, episode 2, guys.
Fosse Verdon. This is the one where shit gets real.
Well, the thing is, we go back in time to when they first met. And also to
we
when
get
they
to,
kind of break up.
We get to see him be a cheating asshole twice.
To two different wives.
Two different women. It doesn't even matter what woman. It doesn't even matter if she's dying. He'll still be like, yeah, I want to fuck somebody else.
And even if she's like, it's cool if you fuck someone else, just stay married to me and come home to me. It was basically like her thing.
And he's still like, no.
No, I want to get married. you're asking too much of me.
You're asking way too much. I felt really bad.
For everyone involved.
What was the name of that other woman? Was it like...
Joan.
Susan? Joan?
Joan McCracken.
I don't remember. Joan McCracken, okay. I don't know what I'm thinking of. Okay, yeah, Joan? I felt really bad for her.
I mean, yeah.
She was dancing and she pooped her pants and I feel so bad.
What? Is that what you thought happened?
I don't actually think that's what happened. I don't really know what happened.
She just couldn't get up. I've seen that happen with people. I don't know what disease she had. Let me.
Are you sure she didn't shit her pants? Because when he picked her up, there was a stain on the bottom of her pants.
I don't think so.
Hey patrons, can you go back and watch this and just double check, make sure it doesn't look like she shit.
Did
her
she
pants.
Poop her pants? Hey patrons, did she poop her pants?
Did she dance so hard that she shit herself? Patrons, poll.
She didn't dance. She literally sat in a chair. Stop.
She danced so hard she shit her pants.
Maybe.
There was poop all over the chair. It was like a diarrhea wet dream.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so they divorced and then her health got worse and then she died quite a few years later actually, not that long after. So they divorced in 1959, and she died in 1961 at age 43.
What an asshole.
Yeah, it's pretty bad what happened.
Like, who fucking does that? Who's that politician that did that? There was
Bill
a politician
Clinton?
That, like... No, it was a politician that, like, literally, like, left his dying wife. And I can't remember who it was.
No, that was Dr. Seuss.
Did Dr. Seuss do that as well?
Yes, he did.
God damn, Dr. Seuss is an asshole too. Isn't that great?
He started fucking her nurse as she was dying of cancer. And then she committed suicide and mentioned him in her suicide note about what a dick he was.
My God. Why? Why would you do that?
Fuck, I don't...
Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, you're like a childhood hero. Why would you do it?
He also did a lot of anti-Japanese stuff.
Yeah. Product of his time.
Maybe.
The thing is, he also did like anti-racist stuff too, which is weird.
Yeah, but we were at war with like I get it, but also and he apologized
for it
later.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was more of like a they forced him to make it almost.
I think he actually believed it because he was very anti-Nazi, anti-everyone during World War II.
Oh, but he didn't hate German people because they're white. He hated Japanese people.
He hated both of them. Like, he did a lot of anti-Nazism and anti-German stuff, too. It's just people like to bring up the anti-Japanese stuff because it looks hella racist.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you do anti-Nazi stuff, you're not doing anti-German stuff. When you do anti-Japanese stuff, you're doing anti-Japanese stuff.
Mm-hmm. And
maybe anti, if it was explicitly anti-imperial Japan, I could probably see it being okay, but...
Well, Bugs Bunny said some racist shit, too.
Well, Bugs Bunny is still a racist piece of shit. I mean, look at him. He's a rabbit.
He's a bunny, and he's a racist bunny.
Okay.
Okay. Joan McCracken died of diabetes, by the way. That is what she's sick with. Like she had real bad complications with that. Just wanted to make that clear. What happens in this episode, Andrew?
Okay. Well, it's a little bit more difficult to explain than the first episode because there's a lot more flashbacks.
Yeah, this cuts it back and forth a lot.
You're kind of cutting back and forth between the fallout of after the end of the first episode where she finds out that he's cheating on... that Bob is cheating on Gwen with the translator on set on Cabaret.
Yes.
And it's also a flashback to when they first met and basically how she pretty much was cheating with him on his current wife.
How she's a fucking hypocrite is basically it, right?
Sort of. It's more of like, how was she so ignorant that she didn't think this would also happen to her?
Well, everyone thinks they're special, right? Oh, no, I'm the special
one. Well, yeah, and I am. And I am, so...
I mean, yes, Andrew, I will never cheat on you.
Of course not. And everyone knows that we are the perfect couple.
I mean, we are goals.
Ever cheat on anyone.
Never.
Isn't that right, Jess?
What?
Isn't that right, Jess?
Yeah.
I know about Brent, Jess.
No! How dare you!
Okay.
Yeah, Brent, but, Brent, yeah, call me. If Andrew's going to leave in a couple minutes, and it'll just be you and I.
Hey, Brent, you know you can always call and talk to me.
Why would you want him? No, it's me.
This episode is specifically made for Brent, by the way. No one else is allowed to watch this.
Every episode of the Patreon podcast is only meant for Brent, by the way. Or using it as a secret code. And I think it's great because I know for a fact he'll never listen to this.
You say that for a fact, but you're going to get a direct message after you put this episode up, and he's going to be like, what the fuck was all that about?
Y'all, can y'all just stop talking about me, please? No, he'll be very nice about it, but still, like, y'all, cut the shit.
Okay. So Bob Fosse cheats on, like, everyone he knows.
He fucks everything that moves.
Specifically women, though. It doesn't... At least that's what's implied so far.
Mm-hmm. And both all that jazz and the biography and the show, to a certain extent, seems to blame this on the fact that he, like, had to perform in, like, whorehouses as a kid. Because it ruined him sexually and, like, kind of... made him a hyper...
Is that more from later episodes? I mean, I could see that they are bringing that up a lot, and I could potentially see them trying to say that that's the reason why, but it's not been explicit yet. Like, they haven't had him, like, say that, like, oh, I'm all messed up because of my childhood, or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, let's put this into context. Let's say your girlfriend comes to you. After you caught her cheating on you. And
with a gorilla suit.
Once you went and got a gorilla suit for her, because she needed that gorilla suit. You find her, and you expect to meet with her, and she's going to be, like, apologetic. She meant nothing to me and all that. And instead, she's like, no, I'm in love with him, and I just kind of want to be able to come home with you and also live with her and, like, you know, be able to see my kid, but fuck him, because I love him.
Yeah,
it's not what you expect.
Well, I don't know if it's better or worse. Either way, it's just kind of like, what the fuck? I'm out of here.
And that's like, basically what Gwen does in the end. But they never get divorced. They die married to each other,
which is very strange. Is this? I expected this to be later in the show that they show this breakup, but is this really This is where it happens?
That's where it happens. And guess what? It don't stick.
What? Oh, they get back, though?
Well, that's a question. Artistically, yes, they do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's where a lot of the drama will come.
Ooh, baby, they ain't fucking, but they're making art.
Yeah, because eventually, like, they still have a kid together, so they have to stay friendly and all that. So they have to see each other. And then Bob kind of skyrockets because we'll see how that goes on. And Gwen just kind of flips around. And here is the point where Gwen is on top of the world in the flashback, and Bob is just starting out. And yeah, that is the big comparison we're starting with here that'll later be very important. So they go into Bob Fosse's original goal of being basically Fred Astaire. He wanted to be a star. And then he ended up being a choreographer because his wife, Joan McCracken, got him all these jobs.
And he never thanked her.
Never thanked her.
And then he cheated on her, and then he divorced her right before she died.
He's not a good guy.
No. He's not.
But let's not pretend that Gwen wasn't cheating on her fella with Bob, too. Like, she had a fella, and she's fucking Bob while with this fella.
Yeah, maybe they deserved each other.
That's kind of what this show claims. But let's talk about the first meeting. Their first meeting together, where she simultaneously thinks she's being auditioned, and he just kind of wants to see how she does with direction and being told, like, the moves and stuff.
Here's my interpretation. He just wanted to see her strip.
Well, she doesn't get naked or anything.
No, but he wanted her alone, and he wanted her with some clothes off. Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby!
And I feel like I'm kind of right in that assumption. But
I mean, yes. But how do you think that scene works? Because right before we started recording this, I showed Andrew the actual Whatever Lola Wants choreography. How do you think that they translated the actual development of that choreography to, like, what it eventually became and all that? I'm just that scene altogether, what is your thoughts?
They don't really get into, like, the ridiculously goofy aspect of the actual scene, because they kind of cut it before that happens, I feel like.
Yes.
But it's pretty much how it is. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to show, like, an undeveloped version of it, or if they were just taking, like, here's the full version and we're just going to claim that that's what he always had in mind, or how they really went about with this. But it's pretty much they just did a lot of the choreography,
but
at least early on.
But the scene altogether, where the actual conversation where they learn about each other and all that. And
oh, yeah. Honestly, it's kind of a tense scene because you're like, what is she going to say? Is she going to blow up on him? Because this is immediately following her not even wanting to do this because she's like, I already have the part. Why am I fucking doing an audition? This is ridiculous.
And do you know who's talking to her during that scene? Or the character, who it is?
Is that the guy from later on as well? Is that like the... No, it's not. Who is that?
I mean, it is the guy from later on. That's Hal Prince, one of the most important directors in Broadway history that we've brought up on this show many times. Like, have you seen the clips where it's like, Hal, it's about cats?
Yes.
That's him. Like, that is the character.
Yeah.
Being played by a different actor. But I think he does a really good job as Hal Prince throughout the entire show because he does continuously pop up.
Oh, excellent. I liked him. He was very enthusiastic about not letting her weasel her way out of doing this and, like, lying about what it actually was going to be. He's like, how did he put it? He didn't say audition at first. He was like, oh, he just wants to
dance,
meet
with
up with
and
you
see and, what you're like.
And yeah. And then she's like, yeah,
you're auditioning me.
And then, like, the passive aggressive stuff when she shows up where she's like, yeah, I heard all the songs because they played them all for me at my apartment
when
like
they offered me
ago.
The part.
No, that's great. It's a really great scene
where they kind of feel each other out, where it starts out super tense and she's like got this animosity towards him, and by the end they're basically in each other's arms.
Yep.
And it feels
they
so natural.
Really, and then they really feel each other out.
Yeah. And I'm kind of glad that they didn't go into how does this become romantic. It's like, yeah, we feel it in that moment, and then it's just obvious they're gonna fuck by the end. By the end of that scene, we know that they're gonna fuck, and you feel the tension of that in the room.
And I just can't wait. I just can't fucking.
And then they just start fucking.
When are the sex scenes coming?
They happen in this episode. What are you talking about?
I need more.
Can I?
Does porn count?
What? Where's my all that jazz porn? All that jizz.
All that jizz.
Can we talk about how life imitates art in this? Because
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Like, the character Gwen Verdon fucks her director-choreographer, Bob Fosse, and then Michelle Williams yep. would go on to fuck Tommy Kail, the director and creator of this show, and eventually they would have a baby together.
And then eventually...
He's gonna leave her when she gets diabetes.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Yeah, I... You know, where else do actors even meet each other, you know? I feel like all actors are married to other actors. They all get married on set, don't they?
You or see, directors. You know Anna Kendrick, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I always liked about her is she never really dated celebrities. In her own words, she's like, yeah, I'm the one that's like on a set that it's not looking at the lead actor, I'm looking at like the third AC. Like, man.
Nice.
And I'm like, I respect that, because I think crew people are more humans than actors. As speaking as someone that's worked on bigger sets with bigger actors, I'm like, you know, those aren't real humans.
No, actors aren't people, and they shouldn't be treated as such.
No, they should be kept in cages.
Cages, and then we can bring them out, and they can perform for us. We give them bananas.
They should be monkeys.
They should be monkeys. Honestly, all roles should be played by monkeys from here on out.
So, the conflict and the end of this episode, and it's, I think it's shown very brilliantly, where they're threatening to cut one of his dance numbers, because it just doesn't
yes.
work. And he just gets into a pissy fit, he can't go to sleep, he's listening through the walls, and, like, middle of the night, knocks on Gwen's door, and it's like, please, they want to cut the number, and I don't know what to do, and she's like, all right, I'll come down, and then they work all night trying to figure out the right number.
Yeah, and he does this in front of her boyfriend, his wife.
And the director and producer.
Yes.
And that felt real to me, where he finally made the choice of what's important. It's not his wife, it's not his family, it's not what other people want. It's him and Gwen, like, riding this through.
It's him and Gwen meeting up to make a dance number off some shitty fucking Mamba song.
You don't like that song.
It's obnoxious.
So
who thought it was a good idea to have him say "eh" like all the time? It's like annoying.
I like it. I don't love it. But as I told you earlier, I did a whole 180 on that where I used to hate it. Now I kind of like it.
Damn Yankees sucks. I've never seen it, but I hate the show. It's awful.
You didn't like the Heart song that they sang?
Okay, I liked the Heart song that they sang, but the Mamba song's twice as bad.
You didn't like Lola once?
That one was okay. Very mediocre. Has a funny dance. I like when she does the arm thing.
y'all missed it. Yeah, you guys on the Patreon are so lucky you get the video podcast now, so you can see all of Andrew's wacky antics. That's all.
You can see all my wacky antics of wearing a plain white t-shirt, because I just got back from work and was too lazy to change in anything.
Whatever Andrew wants, Andrew gets. And little man, little Andrew wants you.
Oh boy.
So the fight at the end where Gwen basically leaves him in the dust. What'd you think of that scene altogether?
I was thinking good for her, honestly.
Finally.
You know, I don't think you were supposed to, but I did not feel bad for Bobby at all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like when he is like clinging to the window and she just starts rolling it up and she's so calmly just like, yeah, no, I've already told him I have to go home. Bye. No, I have to go home. Bye.
You'll have to tell our daughter that you're not living with us, but I'm sure you'll think of an explanation like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, I got my glasses. Got like so professional.
Just out of here.
But that just shows that like Michelle Williams is on a whole different level than fucking Sam Rockwell, who I do like. I like Sam Rockwell a lot. He's a good actor, but he often just plays Sam Rockwell, and I love watching Sam Rockwell, so that's not a negative. But she's like in this character that I know she is not like in real life, that I think she does a very good job at. Specifically, we didn't bring this moment up, but when Gwen sees that Joan can't stand up and like is so weak that she can't even move properly and all that, Bob kind of pulls her into a room and he's like, why does what we have gotta stop? I don't see when we're gonna do that. She's like, your wife can't even, like, such this quiet hush, near whisper conversation.
Your wife pooped her pants at the
but there's this moment at the end of that conversation where Gwen composes herself to be seen in front of the casting again, and she does like this weird like arm thing, and it's incredible.
Yeah. What about the part where she talks with Joan? That's a good part.
Yes. What do you think of that scene?
Oh, that's a good one, and it's like it's almost like her Joan is speaking directly to the future version of her that is in the other ongoing scenes.
Yes. But the thing is, she also explains to the audience, like, why the relationship between her and Bob is so important, where it's like, there's too much of you up there for this, like, that's the reason why this works. It's not his work, it's your guys' work together that really makes this all stand out. It wouldn't work if it was just one of you separate. And, yeah, my question to you is, do you think that Joan and Gwen are being sincere in that scene, or if they're just kind of, like, backhanded?
I think Joan is being sincere in a way, in like a passive aggressive kind of way.
Do you think,
Joan
knows that,
she doesn't
Bob
believe.
Is fucking her? I think is my question.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
I don't know. There's a little bit of doubt there.
No, she's talking about how you know, you're next. Basically, I did my part, and now it's your turn. Maybe you'll do better than me.
It's weird that Gwen gives the ultimatum, like, you're either gonna marry me, leave your wife, or we're done, when she's like doing the same thing when she's dating someone.
It kind of feels like something that Bobby should have said, but I guess he's not strong enough to say something like that.
I don't think Bob is a strong-willed person all that much. Do you think he can ever sincerely love anyone?
I don't know. How much of a sociopath do you think he is? Can he feel love? I don't know.
I don't even know what love is, but I'd love you to show me.
Yeah. Well.
All right.
Honestly, this was a very good episode. I think the first episode is pretty strong, but the second episode is like,
ooh, it's getting intense.
I'm hooked. Unlike Glee, I'm actually excited to watch the next episodes of this show.
Honestly.
Whereas Glee was an actual nightmare. In every waking moment was like hell.
I'm glad you're liking the show, because I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad we're ending it with a full Musicals with Cheese episode on all that jazz, because that is one of my favorite films.
Yeah, I think that this show is genuinely very good. And honestly, if you guys have not watched it, and you're listening to this, which I don't know why, but if that is the case,
go watch it.
Watch along with us,
yes.
For real.
Don't watch Glee. Don't watch Glee. And we're going to try to make us watch some good stuff. I mean, you guys pick what we watch, so really it's up to you. But we'd like to watch some good stuff. We're not good hate watchers, we've discovered.
Honestly, I don't love talking about things I hate. I know sometimes it's funny when I do, but...
It is funny when you do.
I don't necessarily love doing it, though, because I always feel like I'm not being fair, which I'm not, because I'm never being fair, but still.
I don't think Andrew's ever been fair a day in his life.
I mean, it depends on your definition of fair, which I don't fit any of them, so really it actually doesn't, but... All right.
Who's got the pain when Andrew DeMumbo?
Oh, I really don't like that song. When Bob turned to the camera and was like, no, this is the one. Are you not hearing it? I'm like, no, I'm not hearing it. Please, don't pick this song.
All right.
Oh, well.
All right, sounds like fun. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
we actually have stuff to talk about here is the thing. These episodes are shorter than the Glee episodes by a little bit and still, like, significantly much more to talk about.
That's because nothing happens in Glee.
A bunch of musical numbers happen.
Yeah, and they're the same as the musical numbers in this show. They're not, they don't actually matter at all because they're literally just the characters are singing a random song.
I want to talk to you very briefly before we wrap this all up for good. This is an FX show, like the same network that airs Always Sunny and all that.
Yeah.
That's so shocking to me. Like, I feel this doesn't feel like a show that FX would put on. This feels like a prestige Netflix show that they'd throw up and then everyone would forget about.
Well, it was a limited run show, yes. Right? Like, it's not like this was like a multiple seasons or
yes,
anything.
Yes,
like
but
that.
How many like Broadway adaptations? Not even adaptations, like I don't want to call it a biopic because this really kind of until the very last episode, which is the worst episode in my opinion, which I'll talk about when we get there. This doesn't fall into the biopic territories.
Well, FX is kind of a mixed bag because they will air... They're basically like Fox's dumping ground for anything.
No, that's
like,
FX. Literally that's anything. FXX.
That's true. FX is like their dumping ground but not complete garbage, whereas FXX is where they put their complete shit.
But I don't like most things on FX. I do not enjoy American Horror Story. American Crime Story is fine. I liked Atlanta. That's pretty good. Pose is all right. But aside, I guess this fits in that. Like, Pose is very, very different. What We Do in the Shadows might be the best show of the 2020s. Have you watched that yet?
Yeah. Second season is phenomenal. The first season's kind of eh.
Well, they had to set up that world, but I love Nadja and her husband, Laszlo. Like, those two really steal that entire show for me.
Okay, no. Guillermo is the best character.
My girlfriend thinks that, too. She's like, he's so adorable, and I love him. And I'm like, come on, Laszlo is
right
here.
No, it's not that at all, though. It's not that at all. I don't care how adorable he is. I love him fucking killing vampires.
On accident, most of the time.
Most of the time, but then when he starts doing it on purpose, yeah. I'm like, more. And then that last episode, ooh. Okay, so good.
Yes, vote for us to do What We Do in the Shadows next. I could talk for years.
It's not a musical.
I know. They have a couple.
Except for the one episode where he sings, Come on, Eileen.
That show's fucking incredible. Nadja and Laszlo, every time they're on screen, I'm just enraptured. The orgy episode.
Yeah, that's great. And I think in the second season, the character, the like Dwight character, kind of
the soul sucking vampire.
Yeah, he got a bit better too. All right, we're not talking about Fosse anymore.
All right,
you got our bonus episode on What We Do in the Shadows there.
Watch What We Do in the Shadows as well as Fosse Verdon with us.
They're both great, and we love FX. It's our favorite network.
180. All right, we'll see you guys next time on Patreon with Cheese.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.